from the east of the river area, speaking on living clean. Good morning. My name is Charlene, and I'm an addict from Washington, D.C. And I first would like to thank my God, who has been so good to me. I'd like to thank the program committee for asking me to share. Living clean has not really been a real hard thing to do after living the life of an addict. Every day has not been the best day, but has never been a day like it was when I was using. I'm talking about some gratitude. When you go down so low, all you have to see is up. And coming into these rooms of NA, it has allowed me the opportunity to live clean. Now for me, I wake up every day and I live on purpose. That's my life. I live on purpose. And that's part of living clean. And living clean for me, it has been actually, it's been physical, emotional, and a spiritual journey for me. You know, when I came around, I had done so much to my body. It was time for me to love myself again. So living clean meant taking care of myself, you know, going to the doctor, going to the dentist. You know, if you need some teeth, buy yourself some teeth. But these are mine. I didn't like going to the dentist before. You know, come around, you know, some things happen to us. You know, for me, I began to pick up some pounds. And it was, they say that's some good old NA weight. But the weight kept pounding and pounding. So physically, I had to, after being grounded, and I had to really take a look at my life. You know, I was a borderline diabetic. I had some other issues as a result of using. And it was a hard thing for me to do, to change my my diet, because I loved doing certain things. Because after all, I wasn't doing the other things that I got gratification, pleasure for. So, you know, I got a lot of gratitude and pleasure eating a good meal. It was like comfort for me. And a year and a half ago, my sponsor gave me this diet, and she said, we're going to do this thing together. And I lost about 19 pounds, which was good. And the reason why I really lost the weight was because of health issues. You know, we got to start caring about ourselves. You know, I had about 6 or 7 years clean before I even stopped smoking cigarettes. And at the time, stop smoking, it was harder than stop using. It was a hard thing for me to do, to stop smoking. But I'm here to tell you, you can do that too. You know, because see, part of living clean is making better decisions for ourselves. You know, even taking care of our body. And I, you know, kept looking at that little cigarette and said, how in the world this little cigarette got so much power over me? But you have to believe and have faith. If I did this, I can do this too. And I did it. You know, I did it with the little help of a patch, but I did it. You know, don't matter how we get there, as long as we get there. And you know, physically, you got to be careful too, because 3 years ago, I never forget, it was on Christmas night. After I had a nice hearty meal, I decided to go upstairs and do some aerobics. And I ain't done no aerobics in like maybe 5 years. And I did some aerobics. I was too lazy to get on the floor. I was doing it in the bed. And my left leg went to the left too far. The next day, I had ruptured my disc at L3, L4, and I couldn't walk. I was in so much pain. And what happened, I decided to have spinal surgery. And that was like a real painful, lonely period of my life. Because sometimes living clean, we're going to have to make some decisions. And these decisions can be based on, you know, talking to people and praying. But ultimately, we got to make some decisions being clean. So I had spinal surgery, and I came out to the hospital. And I'm going to tell you, the program is so good. I couldn't even make it to the bathroom. And the people in the fellowship would come and bring me lunch and dinner. I lived alone. I left my door unlocked, but I had my key. They would come in upstairs. We ain't going to get this nowhere but right here in these rooms. But what happened, after the surgery, I had to do physical therapy, and I made a decision to resign from my good government job so to get my life together. And I went to physical therapy three times a week. And it got a little expensive. It was like $30 a visit, and I was like $90 a week. And y'all can do the math. It was getting kind of expensive. So I told the doctor one day, I said, "Doc, this is a little expensive for me." And he says, "Well, what can you afford to pay?" I said, "I can afford $10. He said, "Well, that's what it'll be." So sometimes in life, you got to go out there and, you know, and ask for something. And he told me on a Friday, he said, "Charlene, when you come here on Monday, try to leave the cane in the car." Because see what happened, I was walking on a cane, and I had kind of like backed up and going to my meetings because I was feeling kind of bad. I was on a cane because to me, in my mind, a cane was for an old person. And in my mind, in my heart, I still felt real young. And I just didn't want to be seen with the cane. But the cane became my best friend because I couldn't make it from my bedroom to my bathroom without that cane. And the doctor told me after several months of visiting, he said, "On Monday, try to leave the cane in the car because I don't want you to become too dependent on that cane." Monday came, I left that cane in my car. I walked in his office and he looked at me and he smiled. And see, gradually, you can do some things if you just have faith and just give it a try. And this is living clean. You know, living clean involves going out on faith and just putting that little extra effort if you want to get better. So the cane is in the car, and real close by, just in case of emergency, is there. But what also happened, you know, as we get older in this program, I'm talking about not even older far as years of recovery. I'm talking about age-wise. You know, things happen. You know, they gave me pain pills, narcotics. And I'm just saying you got to be careful taking that medication because a lot of times addicts got to know how to follow instructions. They don't want to overdose or over-medicate yourself. You know, you want to do the right thing. And I had kept that in front of me, you know, not wanting to have to change my story about the medication. And mentally, it's been a challenge. You know, as we go on through life, you know, we got to make some decisions. You know, our life becomes more than just going to meetings. I had the responsibility of taking care of my father. And this has been a little emotional for me because last year, to this very day, my father passed. I was here in Ocean City on a Friday night at the meeting. I got a call from Washington Hospital Center to tell me that my father had passed. My father was my best friend. And in living clean, you know, sometimes we got to step up to the plate. You know, I had to do a lot of things for my dad. I had to make a lot of decisions for him. And I'm talking about decisions even involving health. You know, do I think he should do this or do that? Because a lot of times the doctors don't know all the answers. Because my dad was in the hospital, and they wasn't giving him any food. And it seems to me that he was going downhill. And I had a little discussion with my sister, and we decided we're going to kind of help this situation. We brought some food into the hospital, some applesauce to bring my father back to life. And my dad got better. He lived a wonderful life. I saw him the day that he died. And he knew he was coming to Ocean City. He was so proud of me. And we thought he was doing fine. But I think in his own way, he was telling me and my sister, go, have a good time. I'm fine. You know, I'm ready to go home to be with my Lord. And I just get a lot of comfort in the memories that I had with my dad. Now, my father came down to court with me. My mother didn't even want to go. She was just too scared to go. And he came down to the court and spoke to the judge and asked the judge to please let my daughter come home. He said, I promise that she won't get in no more trouble. Daddy didn't know. But he gave such a wonderful speech. It was like, oh, Obama's speech wasn't better than my dad's speech. And because he was talking from his heart. But, you know, that was almost like the beginning, you know. But he lived to see how living clean worked in his daughter's life. You know, he often told me, and I could see it in his eyes, how proud he was of me. You know, sometimes in the program, Living Clean, things happen to us. Sometimes, you know, most times we get ourselves in situations. And sometimes we get, they tell us a lot of things early on, you know, for the first year. Don't get into a relationship, right? Do we do it? No. No. And I understand why they suggest certain things. Because a lot of times, you know, we may be a certain age, but mentally we're not ready to handle certain things. And mentally, we do things because we just don't know how to process certain things. You know, I was in a relationship that I didn't want to let go. You know, it's over, but you still don't want to let it go. You know, when you know within yourself it's time to say goodbye, but you just hang in there, and that's bad, isn't it? But see, this is living clean. You know, it's a process. You know, a lot of times matters of the heart is hard for addicts. I'm talking about an addict like me. And we have to have faith that things going, some things in life, you know, we just have to go through. There ain't no going around it. We're going to have to go through that feeling of missing somebody, that feeling of being lonely. It's going the same. You're going to go through that feeling, and you're going to feel it this month. If you don't break up, you're going to still feel it 6 months down the road. You're going to go through that feeling. So I learned that living clean, try to make decisions early on. When you know that something's not right for you in your life, it's time to move on. You know, sometimes in life, living clean, you got to learn to pick your battles. Because I'm the type of person, you know, I love my sister. My sister loved me, but we argue all the time, don't we, Cheryl? We argue all the time, but our argument is not like a regular argument. We argued yesterday. I just prayed to don't argue today because I got to do this meeting. Just try to make it through the meeting, okay? And, but, you know, some battles, they're not even worth it even if you win. You know, sometimes in your life, you look back on it, you know, you put all this energy and time in things that didn't even really matter. Even when you win, you don't. It's not a good feeling. Anybody know what I'm saying? Ain't that a damn shame? You win, and it ain't good. And then sometimes in your life, you're going to have to fight and have a struggle. You're going to have to pull out everything. You know, when you got to fight for your child. When you may have to fight for your marriage. You may have to fight to save your home. You got to fight to save a relationship with a sponsee that ain't working out. Those are the times when you need to struggle and fight. And don't be worried about all those things that don't mean nothing to you. So living clean, for me, I'm learning to pick my battles. You know, because I'm like an activist type, you know. I wanted to be a lawyer one time, you know, but that didn't work out because I started getting high. And I was, guess, need to represent myself, huh? But God has been so good to me. Even through my darkest days, God has been so good to me. I remember with my issue with my, well, the pain was coming from my knee, but they said it's coming from your back. It's originating from your back. I said, damn. I said, were they trying to do two or three surgeries on me, operate on my back and my knee too? So I said, which one is it? They said, it's coming from your back. Now, sometimes in life, things are going on. You really don't know what in the heck is going on, but you got to pray. That's why I think it's so important to have a God of your understanding. See, sometimes in your life of living clean, you're going to have to go out on a limb. I try to do something different and just pray and have faith that it's going to work out for you. And does it work out all the time? No. But living clean, what we do, we dust ourselves off, pick ourselves up, and we keep it moving. And emotionally, I'm a very emotional person, you know, because I'm a very feeling type of individual. I think I'm pretty fair, you know. And I told my ex one time, if you only prescribe and do like I tell you to do, we both going to work it out. Just follow the program here. Because I'm fair. Just do like I asked you to do. You know, I ain't trying to undercut you or nothing like that. Just follow the program. But see, sometimes in life, you got to stick to God's program. And for real, although I had a little ripe age on me, I really wasn't living right. I'm talking about according to my God, okay? I was well over, you know, being an adult. But sometimes in life, I'm still not doing the right thing. And I'm going to get what I'm going to get. Sometimes you got to hold on and just trust and believe if I do the right thing, some reward is going to happen for me. You know, even in going to church, you know, all the time, you know, I don't want to do everything they ask me to do. But I do know and believe if I do certain things, things are going to happen for me. Now, I'm to the point now, I give my little 10%. But I don't give my 10% of my time and my talent. Because God gave all of us some talents. And I don't give my talents to my church. Will I one day? Hopefully. I'm moving towards that. But a living clean has been so wonderful for me. Because part of living clean means you're going to have to go through something. Living clean ain't always going to be on a high note. We got to, and as part of living clean, we got to learn how to deal with things that don't feel too good. We have to learn how to deal with disappointment, with rejection, with people talking about you. Because see, a lot of times, even in recovery, everybody is not your friend. You know, many of us have what we call enemy friends. Oh, your enemy friends are there to party with you. They're there to whisper in your ear about the gossip. But they're not going to be there to encourage you and to tell you, oh, you can go back to school after so many years. You can start that business. They're not going to be there to uplift you because oftentimes they want you where they are. They don't want you to do better than what they're doing. I believe that whatever God has for me is going to be for me. And living clean is all what you make of it. You know, you can have whatever you want. And if what you want something that somebody else don't want, it's okay, because we all want different things. Because everyone is not willing to work for some things, too, in this program. So don't hate on people that's changed their life, that's doing better. If you want what they have, you go ask them, how did you do so-and-so? You know, but part of the problem is that we just choose not to do the right thing. You know, we still have a degree of comfort in doing the wrong thing. It's some familiarity in some negativity. Because this is a new way of life for us, this living clean. For me, living clean is you look at me and you can see God in me. You can see some good in me. You don't see a woman that has a lot of drama, that talk about people badly. That's not, you don't see a loose woman. That's not what you see if you know me. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But I do want to get better. And me getting better is me identifying what I need to get better on. You know, every year, my sponsees and I, we have this little assignment, and we go over what we're going to work on during this upcoming year. And at the end of the year, we pull that list out and see, you know, where we fell short and where we exceeded. That's why it's so good to have positive people in your life. Because basically, you are your company. And ain't no ifs, ands about it. You know, living clean is being peaceful. Living clean for me is being responsible. Living clean, I mean, it's not all about materialistic, but I don't know many people who don't want no money. You know, I want money and I want things, but I'm going to do the right things to get the money too. And then you got to make the right decisions to keep what you have, too. Because a lot of times in life, God is so good and give us these nice things, but we don't take care of them. You know, easy come, easy go. But the most important thing that I don't ever want to forget is my life as an addict. And how wonderful this God-given program has been to me. And I wake up and try to live on purpose. I have a purpose in my life. And I want to again thank everyone. My time is up. But thank you all for being here for me, and I'm going to keep coming back.
Again, let's give thanks for Charlene for sharing her strength and hope.